of the royal wedding, oh, Prince William's a twat. No one needs the monarchy, won't someone tell them that? They're a useless fucking relic of our fascist racist past. 37 million quid a year, oh, tell me why the fuck am I paying for a wedding that I'm not invited to? So don't cut the education, cut the monarchy and the Olympics too. Not the royal wedding, no one gives a park of bowls. I wouldn't buy a ticket if they let me rub a nose. Your taxes pay to seat the rich, you buy their fucking clothes. It's time to stop cleaning the dish up. Everybody knows that when the country is in debt, it's the taxpayers who are left paying the due. So don't cut my flick on healthcare, cut the monarchy and the Olympics too. No one paid to see me have an hour this morning. No, 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 no. No one pays to see me and my girlfriend pay the rent. No one called the papers when they caught me sniffing work again. So fuck off the royal wedding, grit my feet off the streets next winter instead. Fuck off the royal wedding, no one down here gives a shit. I'm fuck off the royal wedding, I'm already sick of it. Fuck off the royal wedding, they don't give a fuck about us, so it's time to lay the monarchy to rest. Fuck off the royal wedding, cause it's time we smash the lie. We won't be democratic till that institution dies. I'm sick of all the speeches and the fuck off souvenirs. We've been a dictatorship for 1500 years. It's time to smash the tower down and take the power back from the few. Don't cut our public spending, cut the monarchy and the Olympics too. Oh, fuck off the royal wedding, it's distraction from the war. So everyone forgets that England backed the Iraq war. Forgets we hung Saddam Hussein, trained by the CIA. Forget about the promises of last election day. Forget about the welfare cuts, the debt over our head, and Gaddafi's imminent assassination. They're trying to fuck us over like a thousand times before. I don't know what to do, but I can't take it anymore. The hierarchy of liars, but I'll tell you something true. We could feed and clothe the third world with the resource we burn through. It's time to stop pretending that this country needs a symbol, and they're never going to get it, so we have to make it simple. Fuck the royal wedding, the Olympics and the monarchy too.
Hello there, guys. This is that was The Royal Wedding by Ozin Hendrix. This is a show called The Circled A. This is your debt on the airwaves for another cracking show, I hope. We are joined with Greg Hall and Graham Williams. Hi.
How's it going? You all right?
All right.
All right. Both ex-WAG members and forming a new and exciting and grander group christened The Alarm. All London anarchist revolutionary movement. Right?
Yeah, this is going out after the group's actually formed, so... In the
future. It's formed already. We've already come up with the rules and everything. We're just fooling everybody. And
it's the greatest organisation around. So just put that out there.
Let's continue from where we left off, because this is part two. As the condemned government is looking less and less competent in the eyes of the public, finally, as the cuts are being made, what are your thoughts on the alternative votes, the AV?
I mean, I'll kick off. I mean... It's been an interesting kind of discussion. A lot of people are like pro AV because they feel that it's bringing more of a sense of democracy in. Where do anarchists stand on this? I mean, personally, my opinion, with the AV vote, it kind of brings in more of a kind of consensus element, but that doesn't mean that's a good thing. I think consensus can often take politics even kind of deeper and deeper behind closed doors. In the current system we have at the moment, where it's like, you know, first past the post, is parties have to stand on their manifesto. If they break that, voters can turn on them. We've seen that with, like, the Lib Dems at the moment. With consensus and coalitions, it really starts to blur that a bit more and actually makes it harder to hold political manifestos to account. So in some respects, AV gives the political class more excuses to get away with things, and to be honest, already they have enough. And I think that's the main point, really. So whether it's AV or whether it's first past the post, is this about the political classes working together? Things like the Greens, they want AV because it means they can rub shoulders with the Lib Dems and Labour. Mm-hmm. So fundamentally, personally, from me as an anarchist, I think the system's rotten. It's rotten to the core. Liberalising it, bringing in things like coalitions or consensus really isn't going to make that system any better. That system's rotten. We need to get rid of that. Our politics as anarchists need to be in the streets, in about day-to-day existence and experience, and we need people engaging and organising because of how they live their lives. AV doesn't really offer an alternative. It still keeps the idea of political organisation out of people's hands. But I don't know.
Brian?
Yeah. All right, see, I'm a little bit different from you. Myself, I'm more in the yes boat, but for different reasons than most people. I mean, I think you're right. The ability of writing like 1, 2, 3 kind of next to the electoral candidates, that's not going to change anything. They're all a shower of gobshites anyway. I mean, like, David Miliband looks like a pedo. Like, you know, wait, don't you mean... Oh, no, sorry.
No, he's not the leader of the Labour.
You know, they're all so non-generic. You can even get them mixed up, these clones. They all look the same. Well, Clegg, really. Cameron, like it even matters. They're all useless, just parasites on the top. Like, you know, let's do their heads in with chair legs. But the AV has a very interesting thing to offer. A yes vote, that's what I'd have liked to have seen, but on a minority. As that goes through Parliament, like, you know, 20% of the population have said yes and 19 have said no. As it, that referendum's not binding. As it goes through Parliament, creating more and more divides between the Liberals and the Conservatives, and it'd be a sore point for years and years to come. Like, this will be a big point in the coalition. Like, you know, just anything that can create the get the kind of ruling classes, the ruling political classes going at each other more and more. It's hilarious. It's great to watch. And a couple of decent riots, you might be able to bring down a government. Like, a yes vote can weaken this coalition. And that's what I would have liked to have seen. But I'm guessing, obviously, everyone else listening now knows the result and we don't. Because, yeah. But that's why I would have said vote yes. Like, just to piss off the Tories and create a bit of friction amongst the political classes.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it is a wound, which is good, but it's not really the answer, is it? But something really bizarre. On the 14th of May, there will be this, what they call the Rally Against the Debt Pro Cuts demo. Yeah, they're a fascinating bunch, but could you say a bit about them?
Yeah, I mean, the Rally Against the Debt was kind of something that started online, I think, from someone sending something out on Twitter, and then the kind of all the right-wing people on Facebook and Twitter leapt behind it. So you've got key people from the UK Independent Party. You've got a group called the Taxpayers Alliance, which see themselves as a grassroots organisation. Basically middle England. Like, this is a very middle-class organisation. The Rally Against the Debt, yeah, as you point out, is pro-cuts, what they want, and it's going to be quite a triumphalist, you know, beating away of saying they want more cuts. The government should cut more public services. They want to see the debt brought down, which is it's a weird kind of political strategy to take, really. The fact that, you know, our kind of forefathers and foremothers fought for things like the National Health Service. To just take that away, it's not like once that debt's paid off, they're then going to spend loads of money on services. So, you know, it's a very odd thing, this Rally Against the Debt. And the way they're pitching it is very kind of anti-leftist. They've already said that they're coming out to be peaceful and nice, as opposed to the March the 26th, where people were violent and, you know, dreadlock Neanderthals. So they're very much kind of drawing similar stereotypes that, you know, the old National Front kind of racist would draw. So, yeah, it's an odd bunch of people, but it just, I think, generally shows a major shift to the right that we're currently kind of seeing at the moment. I mean, already yesterday there was an article, I think, in The Telegraph by Ian Cowie called The Tax-Based Alternative to the Alternative Vote. And he's basically pushing the argument that everyone that pays tax should get to vote. Anyone that doesn't pay tax doesn't deserve a vote. And what that's doing is pushing more of a divide with it. It's so divisive. It's basically saying if you're on benefits, if you're unemployed, and we're living in a time of high unemployment, during a time of an economic crisis, that you don't deserve a vote or any kind of say. So it's making the voiceless even more downtrodden, and it's basically creating an underclass, and that's what a class system does. It creates an underclass, so people have to get by through crime, they have to live in harsh circumstances, maybe susceptible to a lot of violence, a lot of abuse, and this is what these people want. They want a real divide within society, so that's what this kind of rally against the debt symbolises for me, is just a general shift towards the right.
Personally, I think they're playing with fire. They don't know what they're asking for. Like, you can kind of draw parallels to the American Tea Party, and you kind of talked about the middle class composition in this one. The American Tea Party, is the American working class. That's a lot of working class people involved in that. In Britain, I'm not sure you have the same kind of turnout. I mean, what they're asking for is devastating, more cuts. I don't think they understand how the system works in this country. You cut it more, you take back the NHS, you take back housing benefit, you take back the dole even further from the pittance you're given to live on. You're going to see riots. Like, already Bristol, Glasgow, like in London during the student protests, like kids coming up from different areas to kick off here. I reckon the hotspots could be Hackney. Like, that's ready to go. Lewisham. Like, that's like basically it's like dynamite on the floor. That you've got people coming out of the job centre with, like, what, their measly £50 in their pocket from signing on for a week, like, if they're under the age of 24. Yeah. You see these giant glass spectacles around you, Canary Wharf, the Shard. You see the inequalities in society. The benefit system at the moment, the kind of things they're talking about cutting, that's what's stopping people from going out and attacking the rich. That's what's stopping mobs going around Kensington and dragging people into the street and nicking all their stuff. That's stopping crime. Like, at the moment, that small pittance is enough for you to survive on. It's like the teat of the state kind of keeping you there, just enough for you to kind of be like continue to the next week. If they cut that back, if they make this system worse, you got nothing to lose. So what? You go in prison for a while. Like,
yep.
Yeah. So what? You go into prison for a little bit and stuff like that. You got nothing to lose if welfare's cut back. And it's strange to hear anarchists arguing against a cut in welfare. But that's because we are a class struggle. We acknowledge that right now, if you did just kind of say, right, we're doing this, it's anarchists, you shouldn't take that. I mean, to say you should take nothing from the state's very moralistic, privileged, middle class aspect. Like, if you're a working class anarchist, you can't afford to not be on benefits. You can't afford to not take housing benefit. It means you live on the street, and if people want to cut this back more, there's going to be riots. There's nothing else there can be, where people are alienated from politics. They don't want to vote for the Labour Party or Red Ken. They don't want these scum returning.
It's an interesting point you've actually raised there. Is like, often people criticise anarchists for being involved in like the anti-cut stuff, because they're like, well, you're anarchist, surely you want like the state to have less control. So surely some of them, even like the right-wing people behind like the rally against the debt, are confused at why anarchists are criticizing them, because they think that maybe we should be on their side, because what they're trying to do is have less of a dependence upon the state. But I think we are realists. We're not stuck as many of these kind of conspiracy theorists, self-proclaimed free men of the land kind of anarchists, who believe that they can just opt out of everything. We definitely, as class struggle anarchists, acknowledge the fact we live within this system. Majority of us come from working class backgrounds, or we're all trapped within this class system, whatever part of the ladder you are on, and we have to struggle within that. So our ideas mean nothing to just be out there in the ethereal, but they mean everything when it's within a real context. And that context is the government cutting things that are a lifeline for a majority of the population. Is an actual lifeline. It's keeping people's heads above water. Things like EMA means that kids can actually get a further education. Cutting that is massive.
Yeah, some of them won't be able to afford to go and make that travel.
But it goes further than EMA is only the cusp of it. Look at the way they've recently been changing it for incapacity benefit. Just kicking off, it's like 90% of people being kicked off of incapacity benefit. And just, but I've got a mate with kind of problems who's just been put on the Dole. Already there's been 3 suicides, people that have been stuck on the Dole. People are dying in the most literal sense right now. Suicides, depression's kind of coming up. People are in crap housing, crap standard of living, like crap food coming in. You know, you're buying Tesco value fish fingers instead of fair trade mangoes. Like, you know, you don't have good kind of nourishment. People are dying because of these cuts. Like, this is like, it's an attack on our community in the literal sense in every way. Like, it's a war.
And just another thing to bring in, just about the general shift to the right, is like, let's not forget the other kind of main players. So we've got things like the English Defence League, who at the moment are kind of the only kind of right-wing group that can really mobilise numbers out on the street. And they've historically kind of taken this role as a very much a church and king kind of mob. It's about upholding royalty. It's about upholding the state. They will attack things like the RMT, unions, lefties. You got things down in Brighton, the English Nationalist Alliance, the BNP, the British Freedom Party. The right fractures, but we are seeing a shift towards the right. And a lot of those fringe groups take their main narrative from what, like, the main political parties are doing. So what the condemned government, what they are laying down, those cuts, these then right-wing fringe groups are then jumping behind it. And that's what we're really seeing, is a real shift. You know, you can pick apart all these groups, whether it's UKIP or the EDL, and analyse them. But I think as an overall shift, this country, with the raids that happened a couple of weeks ago with the royal wedding, we are going further and further down a path that is very hard to come back from. When the state has so much control over its citizens, it's a very worrying times, you know?
And it's a system nurtured under those great heroes of the revolutionaries, Labour, the Labour Party. Who were the kind of the brutal police we've got now? Who are they supported by, nurtured, let to breed and grow? The TSG in its kind of brutal form, given more and more powers, like terrorism legislation. It's all the kind of the Labour Party coming in for it. Like, you know, how do you get there? How do you know what the Labour Party's manifesto will say in 5 years' time? You read the BNP's manifesto today. The stuff filters down, the language changes, but it is moving directly to the right. You can only be stopped by rioting.
Yeah, I do think, at best, the rally against the Dems cut and pro-cuts lot, they're very naive, and they seem to just, like, target the working class as if, like, we just, like, have a credit card and just go off on shopping sprees and just have the time of our lives. But yeah, they're just very obscure with that argument. I'm very wrong. On a totally different subject, what about Libya? A lot is going on in Libya. Two of our friends who are also anarchists, they were involved with the occupation of the scary plastic looking Gaddafi's huge house in North London. And they've just come back from Libya as well, so they've had a first-hand account on what's going on the ground there. And the perspective of things is that, their perspective of things, after reading an article they wrote, is that NATO needed to act, which is now what has happened. But the likes of Stop the War hold an opposite stance, referring back to Iraq and equating the two situations as identical. What are your thoughts about this?
Myself, I support NATO intervention into Libya. It's not a... I mean, obviously, there's a real politic of it. People talk about imperialism. Yeah, of course, America's going to gain stuff out of it. Another foothold in the kind of, like, that part of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, it's useful in a kind of a long-term game against rising Chinese imperialism. You know, obviously, oil assets, privatisation into the area. American capitalism has a lot to gain from it. But if it doesn't happen, Gaddafi's going to win, and there's going to be a genocide. Like... Mm-hmm. You know, how many times are we going to hear diplomats from the UN stand up and say never again? Mm. Like, you know, obviously the Holocaust, Rwanda. Mm. Like, you know, it keeps happening, mass civilian massacre. And that's what will happen in Libya if there's not NATO intervention. So I don't support American imperialism, but I do support, you know, inactions to stop... I prefer neoliberalism to authoritarian dictatorship of the Gaddafi regime.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it should be pointed out, like... I kind of agree with Gwaine there, really, and we're not, I suppose, representative of what other people on the left or within the anarchist scene kind of think, because there's definitely been kind of like an anti American imperialist kind of intervention. I mean, the article you spoke about, which was put out in Freedom Press, they themselves, two anarchists who were out there actually on the ground, seeing what's happening, seeing the dead bodies, they said themselves, NATO needs to act now. And I think you've got to understand what's going on actually on the ground, that it's basically going to be a genocide. If NATO didn't start bombing, which they did do, start bombing Gaddafi's troops, those people would have been destroyed, like murdered, genocide, wiped out.
And it's, I don't civilians think, versus mercenaries.
You like, can't sit on your kind of ideology and go, well, I'm against American imperialism, rah, rah, rah. You've got to judge every situation. And I think the Stop the War Coalition have kind of jumped on this and try to, as you say, make it seem like it's the same as Iraq or Afghanistan. Completely different, completely different context. Yeah. There's an uprising in Libya against Gaddafi. Do we support that? Yes, I do. If the British or American or NATO drop bombs on Gaddafi, am I going to personally lose sleep over that? No, of course I'm not, because it's going to save lives, and that's the truth of it. Would I lose sleep over sticking to an argument of being anti-imperialist and knowing people that are dying? Yeah, I would. We don't want people to die, and the only way to stop dictators like Gaddafi is sometimes with bombs. It's not the answer, of course, but it's just the reality of the situation, I think, and a lot of lefties and anarchists aren't thinking within that reality of that situation.
Yeah. Before we end the show, do you think Bin Laden was captured and killed last week? Or do you think the conspiracy theorists are...
I think word in that is the word conspiracy. They're nutters. It's the 9/11 truth movement. Like, wishing
they're not welcome at the Alarm founding meeting, are they?
Oh, no, they're just psychos. Like, you know.
They're generally on YouTube.
We've just been speaking about the Gaddafi state. Like, you know, if a country wants to kill its civilians, they won't make up an elaborate hoax to fly planes into buildings. They'll put them in camps and they'll shoot them. Like, you know, that's what will happen. Like, you don't come up with elaborate hoaxes to justify your stuff. Yeah, although I did just get through a text saying about George Bush. He's like, you know, he's sadly drowned earlier today. Like, you know, he was last seen at the coast of California walking into the sea, muttering about dancing on Bin Laden's grave.
It's a terrible joke. I mean, it's mad. Being on Facebook and stuff, you kind of see in your news feed, people go mental for the conspiracy theory stuff, and they're all kind of banging on, going, show me evidence of his death, show me the photos, show me the video. And I'm just thinking, well, show me the evidence that he's alive. Show me the photo of him dying 8 years ago.
It's like God stuff, isn't it? Like, God exists. Where's the evidence God exists?
Yeah,
like,
and the truth movement and conspiracy theories are like that. They're a leap of faith. That they go, oh, we're just asking questions, but they're not really, because once you start peeling away it, they have a whole packaged ideology, and that ideology is about the New World Order, the Illuminati. It's about everything being controlled and history being dictated by the few, which is just, in my opinion, gives far much credibility to human beings. We're no way that organised. Like, the idea that the American government could pull off, you know, blowing up the Twin Towers, flying bombs into the Pentagon. They couldn't even bloody dump weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and claim that it was Saddam that did it. Because the governments aren't that efficient, because there's so much levels of bureaucracy. There's so much infighting. People are very power hungry within those kind of structures. And really, those conspiracy theories, they take away a lot of our power. This idea that actually history is unwritten and we can affect it. We can affect it by being out as a mass, as a mob. We can actually really push forward what future we want. Whereas, like, people that believe in this stuff, like Bin Laden was like... he was trained by the CIA, but that doesn't mean he's a free-thinking, crazy jihadi nutter. Again, it's a lot of like anti-American, anti-US, and it's like people need to just be a bit more level-headed, I think. I'm an anti-imperialist, but then I don't think that everything America does is bad and that they're the enemies. I think political Islam is just as nasty, and there's lots of truths around 9/11 where a lot of these people don't want to accept it. They'd rather focus all their time thinking that it was some plot than actually being out stopping what's actually happening now as the government pushes stuff through. And a lot of it, when you strip it apart, I mean, you're on the kind of similar ideological ground as neo-Nazis and jihadis who all believe in this idea of a secret cabal, normally the Jews, who are basically running the world. And I don't think... We don't live in a world of order. We actually live in a world of chaos. And this idea that the world is ordered and is controlled by a few is ridiculous. We live in a world of chaos. Governments and the state try to give the impression that they're keeping things in order, but the truth is, we at the moment, this idea of anarchy that the Daily Mail will put out, we live in that at the moment. We live in chaos. But what we're saying as anarchists is we need to organise and move from that where a few are benefiting, and we need to be more kind of organised.
Graham, do you want to add something very quickly?
Just as an end kind of jab at the conspiracy theorists, I think it's hilarious that the kind of people say, you know, the media's lying. And we believe as anarchists the media's distorting stuff. But they go, it's outright lying about this, the government's lying, everyone's lying. Like, you know, victims of the attacks, they're lying. It's all a big conspiracy. They won't believe anything that anyone says. Unless, of course, you've got a Facebook or a YouTube thing, like, you know, you upload a video to YouTube and loads of 9/11 conspiracy nutters will like it or do their own stuff. Like, why are these people more likely to believe some nutter in Wivenhoe, like, on a laptop, than they are, like, other people they're chatting with? Right.
Cool. Yeah, so, basically, I was right. Bin Laden was killed many years ago. Anyway, well, that's...
Bin Laden, the star of Fox News' reality TV drama.
Well, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. For those of you who don't know, I'm 8 months and 2 weeks pregnant. With so many false contractions, I'm wondering if I'm carrying Houdini's love child in here. If I do have her next week, I'll still come in. I'm sure the engineer won't mind if a bit of breastfeeding... Would you really? And the next track, the last track, will be it's called Baby Poo. I hope I'm allowed to say poo on air. Poo. By the Arrogant Worms. Enjoy. See you next week. Bye.
I used to talk about politics, politics, politics. I used to talk about politics, but I don't anymore. I used to talk about communism, socialism, capitalism. I used to talk about all those isms, but now I'm a dad and all I talk about is baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. I used to rant about traffic problems, fender benders, stupid signs. I used to fear an accident, but now I stay at home and talk about baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Sometimes it's all brown and gooey. Sometimes it looks like Dijon mustard. Sometimes it's like melted crayon. Sometimes it just smells like poo. I used to talk about philosophy, Kafka, Descartes, Socrates. Used to think metaphysically, but now I think the world revolves around baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Sometimes it feels just like stucco. Sometimes it feels like jello pudding. Sometimes it's like avocado. Sometimes she just pees on me. I used to be real interesting, discussing issues of the day. But now I call up my MP and tell her all about my baby poo.
Baby poo, baby poo.
All I talk about is baby poo. Baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo.